Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from Oscar De La Renta's office here at Car Talk Plaza.
This is from Dave Barry. I mean, if you haven't read this, and I was just commenting to Dougie, I think I read Dave Barry every week. Somehow, I never read the ones that people send me.
The good ones, you mean?
The good ones. We are here in Oscar De La Renta's office, but you wouldn't know that from the opening. Here's how he opens. I believe that in general, women are saner than men. For example, if you see people who have paid good money to stand in an outdoor stadium on a freezing December day wearing nothing on the upper halves of their bodies except paint, those people will be male. That's true.
Yeah. And if they weren't, more people would be watching on television.
Without males, there would be no such words as wedgie and noogie. Yeah, women would never come up with a word like noogie.
No. I mean, and when was the last time a woman gave another woman a wedgie?
Probably never.
My wife gave me a wedgie the other day, but we'll talk about that some other time.
So I sincerely believe that women are wiser than men, with the exception of one key area, and that area is clothing sizes. In this particular area, women are insane. We've discussed this in the past.
We have.
Usually around Christmas when we try to buy something for our wives.
Yeah.
When a man shops for clothes, his primary objective, follow me closely here, is to purchase clothes that fit on his particular body. A man will try on a pair of pants, and if those pants are too small, he'll try on a larger pair. And when he finds a pair that fits, he buys them. Most men don't spend a lot of time fretting about the size of their pants. Many men wear jeans with the size printed right on the back label, so that if you're standing behind a man in a supermarket line, you can read his waist and inseam size. A man could have, say, a 52-inch waist and a 30-inch inseam, and his label would proudly display this information, which is basically the same as having a sign that says, "Howdy, my butt is the size of a Federal Express truck." The situation is very different with women. When a woman shops for clothes, her primary objective is not to find clothes that fit her particular body. She would like for that to be the case, but her primary objective is to purchase the clothes that are the size she wore when she was 19 years old. This will be some arbitrary number such as 8 or 10. If a size 8 outfit doesn't fit her, she won't move on to a larger size. She can't. Her size is 8.
Her size is 8, that's right.
So she will keep trying on size 8 items until they start fitting her. The other day, my wife Michelle was in a terrific mood. And you know why? Because she had successfully put on a size 6 outfit. She said this made her feel wonderful. She said, this is a direct quote, "I wouldn't care if these pants were this big," here she holds her arms far apart, "as long as they have a 6 on them."
Well,
here's how you could get rich. Start a women's clothing store called Size 2, in which all garments, including those that were originally intended to be restaurant awnings, had labels with the words size 2. I bet you'd sell clothes like crazy. You'd probably get rich and you could retire and maybe take up some philanthropic activity to benefit humanity. I'm thinking here of something like professional lawnmower racing. Size 2. Too.
Well, that's as it is almost always the case, Dave Barry hits the nail
right
on the head.
On the head.
Now, if you want to talk to us about your car or whatever women's clothing you happen to be wearing, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chauncey Gardner, and I'm calling from Haley, Idaho.
Chauncey?
Yes.
What a wonderful name.
Thank you.
Doug Berman whispered in my headphones that you're the main character from Being There.
Yeah, I know. I was born after the movie, though. I mean, before the
movie. Before the movie. Got it. So what's going on, Chauncey?
Okay, well, I have a 93 Saab automatic, 900.
Yeah.
So it does this thing where, in the beginning, it did it like once a month, maybe, and starting to do it with increasing frequency, which is every now and then when I start it, it seems to have, when I put it into drive, almost no power at all. And I can get it to move forward, but, you know, I kind of have to floor it, and it barely moves at all.
So you step on the gas, and what do you hear when you step on the gas?
It doesn't make a really big noise. I hear the engine revving, but I barely creep forward. I used to live in San Francisco when it first happened, and I couldn't get up the hills.
Yeah, so you do hear the engine revving.
Yeah.
And does the engine revving sound exactly like it would sound if you had it in park and revved it?
Yeah, I think it does.
Oh, that's bad for you, Chauncey.
Bad for me.
So, oh, man.
Well, the thing is, if we turn it off and then turn it right back on, it usually is fine.
Yeah, sure.
So my husband thinks we should just keep on turning it off and turning it back on, but I think that it's happening more and more frequently.
You've done the obvious things, right?
Like what?
You haven't done anything.
No, well, I haven't done anything because, you know, we figured out that if you turn it off and turn it back on, you're fine for the next couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, and you know what's weird, too, I noticed? I think that, I don't know if this comes into play at all, but when you put it in reverse, it's fine.
And when you say you've done nothing, you haven't even checked to see if the fluid level is correct?
Oh, no, we have. We've taken it in for, you know, the oil change and the fluid level checks, and I just haven't mentioned it because every time we go in and they find something new, it's such a huge can of worms. So
it's better not to know.
Oh, especially on a Saab.
Well, that's the thing, especially on a Saab.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to write on my little scrap paper here the amount of money I think it's going to cost to fix this. And my brother will write his number.
All right.
And we'll add them up and divide by two.
And tell me if you think it'll be worse if we just wait until we can't wait any longer.
It couldn't be worse than my number.
Doesn't matter.
Here's my number.
He's pretty close.
Okay.
My number was $3,500, and my brother's number is $2,500, which comes to a nice even $3,000.
Oh, my God. What is it?
Well, we don't know what it is, but that's what it's going to cost you, if that's what it is.
That's what it is, right.
We think it's your transmission, and I don't understand why shutting it off. I mean,
that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Make a lot of sense, and I think, quite frankly, that you're lying to us.
No, I'm not lying. And what about the thing that it works in reverse and not in drive?
That often happens. Transmissions will fail sometimes and not go forward, but they'll go backwards. Uh-huh.
Or vice versa, so to speak.
Yeah, and given your choice, you'd rather have the forward gears, obviously.
Right.
You could live without reverse.
And the fact that if you shut off the engine and start it again, and it'll just go normally.
Yeah.
Means that it might not cost you anything.
Yeah?
Just keep doing that.
It's not the kind of thing that's going to bust something bigger or something like
that. Oh, it couldn't get bigger than this. No,
And during this time, the check engine light has never come on or anything like that?
No.
I mean, I'm perplexed by your insistence that it will get fixed if you shut it off and restart it. I don't know. I'm obviously missing something.
But you know the penalty for perjury.
I do. I'm telling you the truth. I would otherwise I wouldn't be doing it for. I mean, it wouldn't on for 6 months.
Okay, and you don't want to change your testimony in any way. It's your story, and you're sticking with it because that's very strange behavior.
Uh huh.
But well, impossible.
The fault could be in the computer, or it could be in the ignition.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, those are going to cost you $3,000 too.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Good luck, Chauncey. It's a pleasure to meet a whole movie.
Thank you
very
much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jacob Stoller calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Jacob.
No last names, please.
Just Charlotte's good enough.
Charlotte's good enough. What's up, Jacob?
Okay, I got an Acura Integra. And I just had the timing belt replaced for the first time. It's at about 130,000 miles.
You lucky
devil, you.
Were taking
devil a
you.
Big chance there, pal.
No one ever told me about these things.
Well, your owner's manual did, but who reads that?
Right. So everything seems to be okay, except for
and for time. Everybody else out there who's got a car of any kind, if you've got 60,000 miles on it, read your owner's manual. Because you may not be as lucky as Jacob.
So go ahead.
Okay, well, it started to do a little whining noise whenever I accelerated. And then I noticed that the performance was a little bit off. It didn't quite have the same juice. And then the first time afterwards that I went to fill up the tank, I noticed that my gas mileage was a good bit lower. So I'm just wondering, did they mess up pretty badly when they installed it?
Well, let me speak from experience.
How many times have you done this?
This engine has two cams. And the timing belt goes from the crankshaft around the water pump, around one of the cam sprockets, around the other cam sprocket, and then it, you know, I don't know where it goes after that, around the idler.
It goes back. It's a belt.
And it goes back home.
Yeah.
It's very easy, and I say this because I've done it. It's very easy to put that on so that one of the cams jumps a tooth or more. And if that happens, you will notice whining. You will notice
lack of power.
Lack of power and rough idle.
And bad mileage.
Bad
mileage.
Bad mileage. All of those.
So because what the
you haven't noticed any of those, have you?
What those cams are doing is they're determining when the valves open and close. And so if everything isn't aligned perfectly, half of the valves are going to open and close at the wrong time.
Excuse me, I have poppy seeds in my
in your shorts.
In my shoe. Well, there too. Berman and I had a bagel fight. Well, it wasn't a bagel fight. It was a bagel incident. I don't know what precipitated this.
I don't know
this.
What precipitated it
But next
it
thing I knew, I had poppy seeds down my shorts, and some of them found their way into my shoes. I'm sorry. I feel better now. I stood up. Where were we? Oh.
Yeah, half the valves are going to open and close at the wrong time, and you're going to get all those symptoms that you got.
And is it doing any damage?
Well, here's the risk. Either they put the belt on wrong to begin with, which is very easy to do, or I suspect more likely they didn't tension it correctly, and that caused it to jump. But in any case, you've got to fix it immediately, because if it jumps enough, it will bend the valves.
Okay.
So you got to. I would get it back to them ASAP and tell them, you have spoken to someone who has done this many times.
And speaks with some authority.
And yeah. By the way, did they change the water pump?
No.
They should do that, too.
Okay.
They won't do it for free. They're going to charge you.
Right.
But they've got to take the timing belt off anyway to fix it and tell them while they're at it, throw a water pump in it.
Okay.
See you, Jacob.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello,
okay.
You're on CAR-TALK.
Wait, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep records here.
Oh, you're keeping score?
No. I'm going to get the average of the expense that we're predicting. So the first caller, we had $3,000 for Jacob.
Well, let's say $175 for a water pump.
Right. They shouldn't be charging him any labor.
No. So this is how we're going to stimulate the economy?
I don't know. I'm just curious to know by the end of the show how many dollars will have been spent.
But this is going to be the click and clack index.
This is it.
Okay. Good enough. All right. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Holly from Minneapolis.
Hi, Holly. Oh,
see, and you sound like a Holly, don't you?
I am a Holly.
Yeah.
What's up, Holly?
Well, I have a 94 Nissan Pathfinder. It has about 146,000 miles on it. And there's two noises. The first noise has been around for about 3 or 4 months. And if I'm doing a U-turn or if I'm doing kind of just a sharp turn where I have to turn my wheel pretty far one way or the other.
Is that the noise?
It's actually more of a gonk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to give you.
Mm. Oh, okay.
I like the boom, boom.
Right.
Okay, good.
Next noise.
What's noise number?
Number two.
Number two is kind of, it sounds like, this has been the last month. So it sounds like, you know when little kids put playing cards in their bicycle wheels?
Yeah.
That kind of what it sounds like, except louder and only on the passenger side of my car.
Ah! Oh, how fortunate that you should have come up with noise number two.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Because
great.
I think what's making noise number two...
Yeah,
is
perfect.
Making noise number one.
Oh,
also.
Good.
And this is on the passenger side of the car?
That's where I hear the baseball card sound.
And how about the other sound? Where do you hear that?
It sounds like it's directly below me.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's just because it's loud and...
And scary.
Yes, it's very scary.
Good. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We might have one answer for both noises.
Excellent.
Yeah, we like to be neat.
You know? Oh,
and we have to conserve.
Right.
There's no
right.
sense having...
We can't squander two answers on you, Holly, because, you know.
You only pay for one, so why should, just because you got two noises.
Yeah, but I could bring up your average.
You could.
That's true. No, I don't know that we want our average to be high.
Necessarily. No,
right.
In fact, I think we want it to be low.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I think we're going to have a $300 number here.
I think so, too, because I think
I'm going to put $300 down.
We're going to agree that you're ready to have a broken axle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the right front axle is ready to break, and that's making all your noises.
When you say it's ready to break, does that mean it could break any second?
Yeah.
It may be broken as we speak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it could break any second, and when it does break, the car won't move. It's not a car, but whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Monster.
House.
Yeah.
Your house.
Monster. The monster.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like the axle is crunching itself to death.
Okay.
And that's you need to go and get it looked at, because if it breaks, you're going to be stuck.
Right.
And it's going to sound pretty scary. If you think the sound you have now is scary, it'll sound much scarier when the thing breaks. So
okay,
get
okay.
it in someplace.
Okay, great.
See you, Holly.
Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're up to $1,133 average so far.
Yeah, we can't do it that way, though.
No.
We get into trouble. The average of the averages is not an average.
Well,
all
right.
Very careful.
Yeah, no, that's true.
You got to be careful about that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just add them up, and we'll come up with a total number. That's going to be a scary number. All right. Any chance you remember last week's puzzler?
Well, give me a hint.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
It was historic.
Yeah.
Folkloric.
Mm.
Presidential.
Presidential.
Biographic.
Yeah.
Chronologic.
What the hell does that mean?
Geographic. Cartographic. And, of course, a little bit devious.
Ah, devious. Well, then I can confirm that it's one of your puzzles. I don't have any idea what... Cartographic? What is that?
You sure it isn't cartographic?
No, it's not.
Well, stay tuned, and we'll be back with the whole story and the answer in just a minute.
Rattlesnake in the road. Gonna die, but he don't know. Sun streaks his stripes of gold. Rattlesnake in the road. Well, he's curled up in a knot. Thinks he's sleeping on a rock. Cars swerve, but they don't stop. Well, he's curled up in a knot. Ooh, hey, way. Ooh, hey, way.
And even though Carl Castle removes us as friends from his Facebook page, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. I failed to mention last week that this puzzler was submitted by someone named Michael LeWitt, and he's from somewhere out in AOL land.
Good.
Yeah. So if the answer turns out to be bogus, we'll give you his full email address.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Now, look, this is mostly an historic puzzler. You ready?
Yeah.
Jimmy was born at the exact midpoint of the century and died before the new century began. So, for example, if he was born in 1950, he died before 2000.
Yeah.
He was a teenager when Johnson was sworn in as president of the United States right after the assassination.
Mm.
He was born in the same house that he died in, though he died in a different state than the one he was born in. The house was never moved, and in fact was in the exact same location for the entire century. The puzzler is, where was he born, and where did he die?
This is excellent. Huh. Of course.
You know he died at home.
We know that. And we know you want us to believe that the middle of the century was 1950.
Right.
And nothing works out if you do that.
Not as far as I can tell. But it works out if it was 1850.
Get out.
Yes, there were two Johnsons sworn in after assassinations.
Really?
Lyndon Johnson was sworn in naturally when Kennedy was assassinated in 1963.
Yeah.
But when Lincoln was assassinated, Andrew Johnson was sworn in.
Get
and
out.
That's the period of time that we're interested
okay,
in.
Okay, so it's 1850-ish.
Right, he was born in 18... He was born in the midpoint of the century.
Yeah.
Born in 1850 and died before 1900. And the reason he was born in the same house that he died in, and it was in two different states, is that Virginia became two states. Virginia became Virginia and West Virginia. And his house, even though it was never moved, wound up in West Virginia.
So he was born in Virginia and died in West Virginia.
He died in West Virginia.
Yeah. Pretty well, cool. I knew that when you gave this puzzle last week, that if the house wasn't moved, then the state must have moved.
There you go. You were trying to figure out
did.
When Hawaii was moved.
Very, very good.
So who's our winner this week?
The winner is Jennifer Hendricks from Brookfield, Illinois. and for having her answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got. Jennifer is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get our CD collection of four classic Car Talk shows called Four Perfectly Good Hours.
And are they?
Are they what?
Four Perfectly Good Hours?
Well, they're no worse than what you're doing now.
Oh, that's a powerful selling point. You come up with it all by yourself, or was that our crack marketing team at work here?
That came from the consultants. Anyway, this collection of four classic Car Talk shows can be yours, Jennifer, if you want it, for being this week's Puzzler winner. And congratulations.
And if you didn't win this week, stay tuned, because we have a new Puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Zoo from San Francisco.
Zoo?
Zoo, that's right.
I thought the zoo was in San Diego.
Is it Z-O-U or X-O-U?
Z-U-E.
Z-U-E.
Uh-huh.
What kind of name is Zoo?
Short for Zuleika.
Zuleika.
Yes.
Oh, that answers everything. What kind of a name is Zuleika?
It's actually Sanskrit. I mean, not that the...
Oh, it's Sanskrit.
Really?
Oh,
and it means beautiful to the beholder.
Really?
Oh, how sweet.
And I'm sure you are.
Wow.
Zuleika.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any... I mean, are all given names in Sanskrit like that?
They have
meanings? Are there any that say, like, ugly as a garbage truck?
I don't think they had garbage pails in those times.
Anyway, Zoo, what can we do for you?
Well, I have a 1994 Mazda Miata, and it has an intermittent problem.
Uh-huh.
You're driving down the highway, and it feels as if it suddenly begins to lose power, as if there isn't enough gas getting to the engine. So I can take my foot off the pedal and tap or kind of stomp on it, mm-hmm. and then it will kick back in. We took it in to have a diagnostic. The mechanic said they couldn't make it miss. And my husband has changed the plugs and the wires, but not the fuel filter, the pump, or the pump relay.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dealership, they said that they had never had to replace fuel pumps.
Yeah, we've never replaced a fuel pump on a Miata, ever.
Right.
But have we ever worked on a Miata?
Does this happen only after sustained highway driving?
It certainly doesn't happen when you first start, and it seems to happen at least kind of 15 minutes into driving. It happens more often after a sustained period of driving, but it can also happen like yesterday, 15 minutes into city traffic, and then it started happening.
And let me get this right. If you try to drive normally, it won't respond, but if you floor it, it's okay.
Well, you don't floor it, you just kind of tap it or stomp on it, and it kicks back in again, and then it dogs out again.
Ah, okay. I've got it.
Really?
Mm. And I'm surprised. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have it. But
well,
I'm going to make up an answer.
Go ahead. I'll be the arbiter of bogusity. You know what bogus means?
What the definition of bogus?
Well, no, the origin of the word.
Well, I'm going to guess that bogey comes from it.
I don't think so.
No?
Well, I don't...
Double bogey?
I don't really know the origin of the word.
Bogart.
But it comes from a bogus, which is a thing. I don't know what the source of it is. But the thing is a machine for making counterfeit money.
Really?
It's called a bogus.
Really?
From which, I guess, the money now became bogus money. And then,
right. Oh,
and
then bogus from that it went to
your
vernacular.
Answers.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give it the bogus rating.
We have a 1 to 10 on the bogosity scale? Bogosity scale.
Bogosity scale.
Well, I think it is your throttle position switch.
Wow. Okay.
I like that.
Now, bear in mind, I'm not sure you have one.
But had you had one?
Well, I think it does. And the throttle position switch is basically a variable resistor which sends a signal to the computer to tell it where your foot is on the gas pedal or, in fact, how far the throttle is open. Mm-hmm. So it can tell it if the throttle is completely closed or if it's completely open or any place in the middle. And the fact that you can tap the pedal tells me that somehow or another jarring the throttle cable is making the switch move. So what they've got to do is test the throttle position switch.
Okay.
Again, I'm not positive you have one.
Oh.
But I think you do.
Okay.
Good luck, Zoo.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Well, how expensive? I have to have a number here.
Oh, I'm guessing.
$200, right?
Or less, yeah. But let's put $200 just to be in the safe side.
We'll put $50 in there for the diagnosis.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay. Do you happen to know what time it is now?
Time to blow the autumn leaves onto my neighbor's lawn?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dredge up a caller from a previous show. Dredge up.
Dredge is good.
And find out whether he or she is still mad at us. That's basically what we do.
So who's our lucky contestant this week, Johnny?
It's Mark from Oklahoma. You remember Mark? No.
No, but I can sing Oklahoma if you hum a few bars.
Mark called us several months ago because he was having a hard time keeping his Isuzu Trooper clean on the inside.
I'm getting this strange oozing discharge from under my dash that is constantly ending up on my shoes and my socks and my pants and all over the floor.
What color is it?
It's red.
Red?
Well, it looks red when it's on a sock.
What color is the sock, red?
When I first noticed it on the car mat, I thought, well, what is this? And I tried to wipe it up, and it was like molasses. I was like, what on earth?
Molasses.
Is it smelly?
Well, it almost smells like
It smells like socks, right?
It smells like three socks.
It smells just like your feet.
So, did we just give him a hard time about his foot odor, or did we give him an answer?
I think we told him, I don't remember precisely, that the transmission oil was getting into the speedometer cable and traveling up the cable up to the back of the dashboard.
I think you did say that. Mm. All right, let's see how we did. Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true, Mark,
that
old buddy?
That is correct.
Okay, and that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that case of odor eaters that we sent you.
That's exactly right.
So look, was it transmission oil coming up the speedo cable?
It certainly was.
Hey!
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I've got the Kramer of all mechanics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, of course, I take my truck in there, and I tell him, I've got this discharge coming out here, and he starts telling me, well, I think it's rust coming from your heater core, and I was like, look, now, I've talked to the guys on Car Talk, and all when I said that, you should have seen his eyes light up.
Oh, really?
Yeah? You sure they were lighting up?
Well, he proceeded to go across the dash. Well, I think it might be your oil pressure gauge. And I kept telling him, it's the rubber seal on the speedometer cable. If you'll just replace that, everything will be fine. And he did go ahead and replace it, and sure enough, it quit spitting up on my leg there.
Well, that's great. So you can now wear something other than red socks.
Yes, I can.
That's great. And we haven't had a right answer on Stump the Chumps for about a month.
So we
really
want to thank you, Mark, for being cooperative and enjoy the case of odor eaters that we sent you.
Yeah. Oh, I certainly will.
And those Omaha steaks that are coming frozen.
Yeah, the Omaha steaks. Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Mark.
Thanks for the advice, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and you can stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joanne from Texarkana, Texas.
Joanne?
Yes.
Texarkana.
Right.
So what's up?
Well, my problem starts out with the fact that I have two children. I've got an 18-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. And my son has had his driver's license for slightly less than 6 months. And my daughter has been through driver's ed and is ready for her driver's license when she turns 16 in about 5 weeks.
Man alive.
Okay. Now we've got two vehicles here.
Yeah.
We have a 1994 Chevy extended cab pickup, and we have a 1990 Nissan pickup. Both of them can drive the Chevy pretty well, actually. The problem is that it has fallen to me to teach them how to drive the Nissan, which, by the way, has a standard
stick shift.
Yeah, we figured that out already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit of history on this in that this is a couple of generations back. One of my earliest memories as a child was of my mother learning how to drive a standard, which she didn't learn how to drive till she was well into her 30s. And I remember my father taking her out, and I remember them coming back to the house, and I remember my mother stomping into the house and slamming the door, and then my dad coming into the house and slamming the door, and no talking going on. Okay. I learned how to drive a standard from my husband in the first year of our marriage.
No
which
kidding.
Is not, yeah. And
did
was,
you come into the house and slam the door and all that stuff with him?
Oh, we just sort of screamed in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So this was not a real good experience either. And basically, I like my kids. You know, I do. And I want to help them to learn how to do this.
Uh-huh.
And the problem we're having is that it's not an inability to shift gears. We haven't even got that far yet. Now, I'm usually a fairly calm person, but these herky-jerky starts from the stop position...
Uh-huh.
I am about to import a full-time chiropractor into the house. I mean, we're talking bad here. We can't even get it into a rolling position. And I have told them over and over again, apply the gas gently while slowly releasing the clutch. But it is not working. And how do you do this?
Wow. Well, having recently done this myself, my son is 17, and he... got his driver's license for automatic transmission. And, of course, the minute he saw me drive home with my Fiat Spider with the top down, he started salivating all over the place. And he said, ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah.
So he said, teach me how to drive a stick shift.
He wasn't salivating. He's blowing chunks.
So we get in the car, and for the next half hour or so, he did exactly what you say your kids are doing, and we bounced all over the streets. I was mostly laughing because it was so ridiculous.
And the truth is that there is nobody that learns to drive stick shift that doesn't do exactly the same thing. Actually, I gave Alex his first stick shift
lesson.
Yes,
you did.
On the venerable...
Colt Vista.
Colt Vista.
Yeah.
And the way I approach it...
I
if you're
saw
interested,
you puking that day.
If you're interested in pursuing this, is I don't allow the student to touch the gas pedal.
Yeah. Work on that
we
one
go
for
into a
while.
Parking lot, and the whole first half hour is spent either giving dope slaps or insisting that they get the car going from a dead stop by using the clutch only and not using the gas pedal.
How do you do that? I mean, will it go?
Sure
it will. It'll go. Sure it'll go.
What the student quickly discovers is that the first 3 inches of movement off the floor really does nothing. So what the student begins to figure out is that I can get to this engagement point very quickly by lifting my foot those first 2 or 3 inches very, very rapidly. But when I get to the point where something starts to happen, then I've got to slow down and do it slowly. Otherwise, the car stalls. And once the student gets accomplished at this, then I allow the student to use the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And after that, I'll actually get in the car with them and drive around some. But if you try that approach, you may, and that will stop a lot of the whiplashing if you don't let them use the gas.
Okay.
Don't forget, you have the added advantage in Texarkana that you have no hills. So you can do almost anything, and you can manage to drive a stick shift.
Okay.
Plus, they can employ the Texas rolling stop, so they have to make very few starts from a dead stop. So once they get the thing moving, they're basically all set.
They're all set, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
See you, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, I've had enough. I think we should take a break.
If you've had enough, then you know that both of our listeners bailed out at least 10, 15 minutes ago.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Papa, I don't know what you're thinking. Still driving that hot rod Lincoln. You tell me telephone poles look like a picket fence. Now gas is $4 a gallon. Don't make no sense. When you sideswipe that caddy, you got away with murder. Now that car's an antique and you don't want to hurt. You shouldn't drive with smoke and flames. coming out of the side. You're an old man now, you need a slower ride.
And even though World War II veterans shake their heads and say, we took Iwo Jima for this, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, I don't know what I want to call it.
Semi-automotive, quasi-automotive, non-automotive?
Non-semi-quasi, yeah.
Yeah.
The new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Here it is. In the little Asian country of Tuvaniska. You know Tuvaniska?
Of course. Been there very, very many times.
That's where Richard Feynman went to collect stamps.
Yeah.
I think. It just so happens that there are two towns a few miles apart on either side of the mountain. And we'll call these towns Abba and Bubba.
So Abba is on one side. They're only a few miles apart, but the mountain's in between.
There you go.
I got it.
Okay.
Mountain, and, Abba, I'm drawing a picture, and Bubba.
Okay. And the preferred footwear in this region is the combat boot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do we need a pencil for this?
You need
a,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, we're back. Get a pencil.
Get a pencil, yeah.
So the first town is Abba, and the other town is Bubba. There are 20,000 people who live in Abba.
Yeah.
Okay. And 1% of them,
mm-hmm.
okay, has one foot only, and as such, they wear what? One boot.
Mm, on the other foot.
On the foot.
On the foot, yeah.
The remaining people in the town, half of them, wear no boots at all. They go barefoot.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
And the rest of the people wear two boots,
two
like
boots.
Like you do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you can go figure out how many boots there are in Abba.
I can do
you
that.
You can do that.
I would be able to do
okay,
that.
Okay. Now, let's go to Bubba.
Bubba.
Okay.
How many people live there?
That's what you're going to tell me.
Ah, that's X. X.
In Bubba, 20% of the people have one foot. We don't know what happened. It was a mining accident. Of the remaining people, half of them wear no boots.
Yeah.
And half of them wear boots.
Two boots.
Two boots. There are 20,000 boots worn in Bubba.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
What's the population of Bubba?
That's a fascinating puzzler. Well, let's just summarize it again.
Okay.
20,000 people live in Abba. Let me see if I got it. 1% of them have only one foot.
That's right.
And they wear a boot on that foot.
You would think so. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Of the remaining people, half of them...
Half of the remaining people wear no boots.
They wear no boots, and the other half wear two boots.
There you go.
And in Bubba, we don't know how many people live there. X people live there. But 20% of them, due to that industrial accident, have only one foot. Half of the remaining people wear no boots, and the other half wear two boots. And in Bubba, there are 20,000 boots altogether.
That's right.
What is the population of Bubba?
Not Bubba. Bubba.
Bubba. I thought it was Bubba. Oh, Bubba.
Bubba.
As in Alibaba.
Yeah. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or carve it into a 60-foot flowering stewartia. Japanese stewartia.
Oh, okay, if that's what you
with
want.
With nicely exfoliating bark. And ship it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. By the way, I should add,
mm-hmm.
what is the population of Bubba, but why?
Why?
Yeah. Also, you can call us and ask us questions about anything at all, even your car. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Maybe it should be anything talk.
Could be.
We could do that.
Hello.
You said, even your car, you said.
Even your car.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on anything talk.
Hey, guys.
What do you want to talk about, anything?
Well, yeah, anything. This is Lee down in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Lee?
Right.
Where are you again?
Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Natchitoches.
It's pronounced K-N-A-C-K-A-D-I-S-H.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. I wrote dish down.
Yeah, Natchitoches.
What's up, Lee?
Guys, I got a 1994 Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it new in 94. Got 103,000 miles on it. And it kicks and bucks on me occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms are, it's like you be going down the road, and all of a sudden it's like you tap the brake, and that's the buck, and then it'll kick back up like, you know, it's grabbed another gear or something, and then it'll settle down, and it may not do it again for a long time, and then it may do it again for the next 5 miles.
I don't get it yet. You're driving along, say, 35, 40 miles an hour?
It could be 35, it could be 25, it could be 85.
And you touch the brake pedal.
No, it feels like you touch the brake pedal.
It feels like you touch the brake pedal. It just, out of the blue, it suddenly feels,
right. It's
almost like stopping, and then it picks up again.
Right. Now, this happened about 3 years ago when I took it in, and they said it was the whoop tube.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
And I said, well, what in the world is the whoop tube?
I would have said that.
It's this big tube that goes behind the fuel injectors down into the transmission, and they replaced it. And it ran great, and it just started back, about 6-7 months ago.
Really? So it
and
ran
so I
great?
I wondered if y'all had ever heard of that.
A whoop tube?
A whoop, that's what he called it.
Well, I never heard of a whoop tube.
Well, I just wanted to get another opinion.
Well, you got one.
If y'all never heard of it.
No. So did this guy give you a whoop tube, huh?
He said it ran from where to where?
It runs from the back of the fuel injectors. It kind of hooks into the, with the breather system, and then runs down into the front of the transmission. And it's about a 2-inch diameter tube. And it's kind of, it's bent a little bit, the snake down between the firewall.
So you've seen this thing.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it's about 2.5 feet long.
Was it broken?
Yeah, it had a hole in it.
It had a hole in it?
Mm-hmm.
That would explain everything. Well, I wish I could help you. I mean, I never heard of a whoop tube, and I can't even imagine what this thing is.
Well, have you heard of any other reason why the transmission would kick and butt like that?
There is a snorkel that conveys fresh air from the air cleaner into the intake manifold. And
Maybe that's what it is.
And
maybe that's what they're calling the whoop tube.
Well, whoop. You know, there's some funny things to go on down there in Louisiana.
Wow.
So it could be that, in fact, is what had a hole in it, and that can cause the thing to momentarily lose power and to misbehave on acceleration.
Uh-huh.
But there's no connection between the engine and the transmission with this whoop tube.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the whoop tube removed and see if, in fact, it's got a hole in it like it did the last time.
I mean, is that guy still around? The guy?
He's got a shop over here.
Well, jeez,
it's only like $125.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with it. I mean, I know it's nice to get a second opinion, but you ain't gonna get one from us.
And you spent half of that on the phone call.
No, this is your nickel, guy.
Oh, is it? Oh, jeez. All right, well, see you, Lee.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Laura from Erie, Pennsylvania. How you guys doing?
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura. Boy, you sound pretty cheery.
Well, nobody wants to listen to you complain.
No,
that's for sure.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, we're chipper now because it hasn't snowed yet in Erie.
But you got to get ready because it's coming.
Yeah.
The snow's going to fall.
I'm going to embrace winter.
Well, so am I.
By going south.
Oh. No, I love the winters here. It's beautiful.
I hate them. But that's okay. I'm going to embrace it. I'm not gonna start complaining for a long time.
No, because nobody wants to listen to
Nobody wants to.
Yeah, except his wife has to. Anyway, Laurie, what's going on?
Okay, I've got a Toyota Camry, and it's got 80,000 miles on it, and I love it.
Good.
It survived a fire. It's got a few dents and scratches because a ladder fell on it, but it's never given me a day's problem.
How did you feel the day? Did you drop the ladder on it?
It fell off the wall in my garage and landed on the car.
So nobody was actually standing there saying, oh, jeez, how did I do that?
No, I heard the crash and ran out there to see the ladder on top of the...
Oh, so you had the ladder held up by some kind of brackets?
Exactly.
And the brackets gave?
Exactly. They pulled right out of the wall.
Oh, they pulled out. So you couldn't even sue the bracket maker.
No.
All right. Yeah. So you love the Camry.
I love the Camry, but here's the situation.
Yeah.
I have a new puppy. She's a four-month-old chocolate lab.
Mm-hmm.
And the Camry seating isn't quite good enough for her. You know, there isn't enough room for her to stretch out.
In the back?
Well, she doesn't really like the back. She likes
Tough.
To be up front with me, but I do try to put her in the back seat. But see, then we go to the beach, and there's sand and water, and then the back seat gets all dirty.
What,
and
you have a beach?
Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, Lake Erie's beautiful.
It is a great lake, we know. All right, so you were, well, you know, the first of all, the dog should be in the back seat.
Right, well, for safety reasons,
and,
I know.
And the dog should be in a seatbelt, believe it or not. And here's the reason. You're not worried about the dog so much, but the dog becomes a deadly missile.
Right.
If you have an accident.
Right.
And imagine when Coco, is that her name?
Lily.
Lily is full grown and she's 87 pounds.
Right, and she's going to be a big girl.
And she comes flying at you when you've rear-ended somebody on the interstate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got to get used to sitting there. I mean, you have to wear a seatbelt. She has to wear one, too.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. So I want to get a bigger car. I want another vehicle.
The Camry's gone. We've accepted that.
But I've been looking at these SUVs, and I've looked at some of the smaller ones. And they're just not nearly as nice as the Camry.
No, they're not.
So what should I be looking at?
But I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish.
You want something that
she can sit in the front seat of?
No.
I'd like to move her to the back of a vehicle. You know, whether it be the back seat or like a trunk area.
Oh, a Subaru Forester would do it.
A way back.
Right.
A Subaru Forester, a Subaru Outback. A station wagon, like a Volvo station wagon?
A station wagon? A Volvo? What do you think? I'm loaded.
How about an old Volvo station wagon?
Yeah, used would be okay.
I mean, there are lots of vehicles that have a way back.
Uh-huh.
Some of them, it's kind of narrow.
Well, see, and do you know what I mean about the Camry? It's just so nice. There's lots of room. It rides beautifully. And you get in some of these, and I feel like I'm in a truck.
How about you throw a sheet of plywood on the back seat?
Well, I mean, just throw a blanket over it. This is not a reason to sell your car.
Well,
she's a dog.
Well, but eventually, I have 80,000 miles. I know I could probably get another 80.
You're just dying to get rid of this car, aren't you?
I know. I
love this car, and I can't wait to get rid of it.
All right, the Camry's history. You can just drive it into the river.
Drive it into the river. You hate the car anyway. You've been sick of it for a long time. I would have to go with a Volvo wagon.
Because
it has more room in the way back than a lot of these mini SUVs.
Okay.
Which do have room in the back, but the dog is not going to be comfortable there.
Okay.
Because he or she doesn't have enough room to move her out. She can't even turn around. She goes in facing left, and that's it.
Right.
Well, the nice thing about putting the dog in the way back is that you don't have to put her in a harness.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Because if you crash, the back seat's going to stop her.
Exactly.
Right. But if I get rear-ended, what happens to poor Lily?
Oh,
what do you want, everything?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
See, all these things now to consider.
You can't, no, you got to take a chance in life, Laurie. You can't worry about everything. Lily's going to be fine.
Okay.
If you get rear-ended, I'd worry about Laurie. Yeah, Lily will be okay.
Yeah, she will be.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
No, you can't. I mean, you could put a football helmet on her. But I would look at, I mean, you're going to figure she's not full grown yet.
No, only 4 months.
Yeah, so you're going to have to.
I don't do anything until she grows.
Okay.
So you get some sense of what 100 pounds looks like.
But look at the Forester and even the CRV. I mean, they both have a fair amount of room, and you can get one of those metal cages.
Right.
You know, that goes, not a cage, but it's a barrier that
right.
goes between the seats so she can't jump and go into the front.
Right.
And eat up more than two seats.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you know she's going to do that.
Coco wouldn't do that.
Lily
wouldn't do that.
Lily. Well, Lily's a cute name, and I'm sure she's a wonderful dog, and they're great dogs.
Oh, I love her.
So you're going to have fun with her until she eats your car. That's another reason, by the way, for keeping the Camry. Do you want her to eat a brand-new Forester, or do you want her to eat a 7-year-old Camry?
She doesn't need anything. She's perfect.
Yeah, okay. See you, Laurie.
Thanks, you guys.
That's why you're not going to do anything for another 6 months.
All right, I'll wait a while.
Yeah.
Okay, good advice.
See you later.
Good luck,
Thanks,
Laura.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, wait a minute. We need to know the final tally.
I just worked on it.
Yeah?
It comes out to about $4,300 on average.
Wait, 40? How do you come up with that?
Well, we had the 175, and we had 200 bucks for the brake job. And we had the new car for Laura, $22,000.
Okay. Well, never let it be said that we haven't helped stimulate the economy.
We have, man. We just plunked $4,200 on average. And the sum of all those numbers is like $40,000.
Pretty good, huh?
I mean, when you use the multiplier effect and the trickle-down theory... trickle down your leg.
I get a trickle right here. Well, it's happened again. You've depreciated another precious hour of your life listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Orient Heights, Raw Egg Whites, Brownie Bites, Diet Sprites, Miller Lights, Turkish Delights, and Multivites Bill of Rights for Appetites is John Pugsley Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our alignment expert is Lou Sagusi. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the ex-campaign managers reading tarot cards in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't drive like Ramey.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1245, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's Thank a Mechanic Day.
Right. Over the years, we've suggested lots of ways to thank your mechanic, like baking brownies or declining to sue when your car falls off the lift.
Good one.
Now, you may not know this, but November 15th is Thank a Mechanic Day.
Did you make that up?
No. Google did. Anyway, we've got lots of suggestions for ways you can thank that special guy with a wrench and no teeth. Check them out right now at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though bears decide to hit the hibernation sack early this year, when they hear us say it, this is NPR.